Hey church, so good to worship with you guys today. My name is Lydia Long. I'm here with Pastor Jericho Toilolo.
What's up guys?
And we're so excited that you clicked on this video and you want to engage. And just been super stoked for this new sermon series we're doing. Yeah. I got a text from a friend here at Life Church just talking about how she's just praying this week to know God more personally, and texted some of us friends about her praying for us to get to know God more personally this week. And so I've just loved the community and the connection that's been happening because of the sermon series, and I'm already just seeing like impact and change. So I'm excited for today's service. We're gonna continue in worshiping through giving and through generosity. And so you can go to lifechurchreno.com/give to find different ways to give here at Life Church. And as always, be reminded that your generosity makes a difference, that you are the church, you're being the church and giving back what God has already given to you, what God has given to me, giving back into our community and the different organizations and nonprofits that we support here at Life Church. So thank you, church. Again, you can go to lifechurchreno.com/give.
Hey, we're going to get ready to jump into the series I just started this past week called The Resolution Revolution, where Pastor Dave is kind of just talking about resolutions, but biblically, and kind of prayers that we as a staff have for us as a church, and hopefully that you have as well as we kind of go into this new year. And so grab your pen, your notepad, your Bibles, and get ready to hear from Pastor Dave today.
It was almost exactly 24 years ago. Claire and I had been dating for just a couple of months. We were hanging out at my parents' house. I suddenly felt violently ill, sick to my stomach. I began vomiting up large quantities of throw up. It was a mess. I was sitting there just feeling terribly, and I look up and see my new girlfriend of just a couple of months over there happily cleaning up my vomit. It was in that moment, it was like this giant light went off inside my head and my heart where I just realized, this girl really loves me. And it was just a couple of months later that we were engaged, and just 4 or 5 months after that, that we were married. And 24 years later, I've really never had any real doubts that Claire really loves me. I think sometimes in our life, the reality of the love that we give and receive in our human relationships, I think sometimes it feels more real to us than the love that God has for us. I think that's why the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, he prays that this church here would really understand how much God loves them. That's what we're going to talk about today. We kicked off last week a new series called The Resolution Revolution. And we talked about how there's nothing wrong with making a New Year's resolution. But what might actually be better for us is if really we had some prayers that we really asked God to make real for us, prayers that we would pray for ourselves, pray for others this year, and that these prayers would really define the year for us. Last year, we looked at Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, where he prays that the church there would really know God. And then today, we're going to look at this prayer in Ephesians 3, that we would really understand how much God loves us. So Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, here's what it says. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named." He's saying, I'm bowing in this prayer. It was mostly normative in the Jewish culture of this time to usually stand when you prayed. Paul's saying, hey, listen, I want you to know, this is no casual thing. I'm begging God on your behalf. I'm bowing. This is an earnest prayer. "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." When Paul says, I'm praying that God would grant this thing to you, this deep understanding of his love for you, it's going to have to come from God. God's got to grant it. He's saying, I couldn't do it for you. You couldn't do it for yourself. This is a supernatural thing that he's asking for, that God would grant you this ability to fully understand his love for you. "He may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit and your inner being. That word inner being could be like a synonym of for heart, not simply speaking of our emotions, but kind of our the whole totality of our inner man, our mind, our will, our emotions, sort of that control center of our life. He says that you'd be strengthened with power through his spirit and your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So all of this stuff that Paul says up to this point, he says, man, I'm praying that God, that you'd be strengthened with power. I pray that you would have this deepening in love, grounded in love, that Christ would be dwelling in your hearts. All of these things are building up really as foundational blocks of Paul's primary big request. Here it goes. That you may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints, or grasp with all of the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. See, we have to ask God to help us to really understand his love for us, because it's too big for us to understand. Have you ever looked at Lake Tahoe and just looked at that lake and knowing that it's about 1,500 feet deep and just thought, man, that is a big lake. Largest alpine lake in North America, I believe it is. I was reading the other day that Lake Tahoe holds about 39 trillion gallons of water, enough to cover the entire state of California in 14 and a half inches of water. I mean, that's a big lake. But have you ever looked at the Pacific Ocean? I mean, the Pacific Ocean covers about 30% of the Earth's surface. It's compared to the Pacific Ocean, Lake Tahoe's pretty small in comparison. In fact, I Googled the Pacific Ocean. Get this, get how much water's in the Pacific Ocean. 187 quintillion gallons. Quintillion, big number. And so compared to the Pacific Ocean, Lake Tahoe's quite small, but really compared to the size of the Earth, the Pacific Ocean's quite a bit smaller. It's only about a third of the size. And so compared to the size of the Earth, Pacific Ocean's quite a bit smaller. But have you ever thought about just the size of the Earth? I mean, it's where we live. It's as big as we can wrap our heads around. It's all that we experience with all of our senses. But did you know that the sun is about 1.3 million times the size of the Earth? So Lake Tahoe compared to the sun, it's pretty much nothing. And I think for us sometimes, if you were to reflect upon the love you share, the relationship in your life that you experience and give and receive the greatest amount of love, at best, that would be like Lake Tahoe compared to God's love being the size of the sun. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the size of the sun, it's just too big for me to grasp. When I think about something 1.3 million times the size of the Earth, it's just beyond my ability to fathom. I can't wrap my head around it. If I was simply in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a boat and looked around where I couldn't see where it started and where it ended, that would be too big for me to fathom. And so the idea of me wrapping my head around the sun, it's just not possible for me. It goes beyond my comprehension. And so what Paul here is saying, as he's saying, the way God loves you in Christ, it's beyond your comprehension. You could think about it in the natural, all that you possibly could think about it, but you're never going to wrap your head around. And he says, the breadth and length and height and depth, this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. See, we have to ask God, would you help me to really understand, not just in a mental kind of assent sort of way, but at the depths of my heart, that the how much you love me, because I can't do it on my own. It's too big for me. Let's keep reading. Verse 19, last part of it, he says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. See, we need to ask God to help us understand how much he loves us, because I'll never become like Jesus without this. I'll never become who God created me to be without really growing in remarkable ways in my understanding of just how much God loves for me. See, we tend to many times in the focus of our prayer life, we tend to primarily end up praying about tangible things and circumstantial things. And that's not all bad. God cares about that. Nothing in your life that's so small, God doesn't care about it. But when we look at the prayers of the Apostle Paul, he almost never prays about those things for himself or for others. Because many times those things in our life are really more symptoms. And so what Paul usually does is he usually prays about these internal heart things, these intangible things. And I think the reason is this, because I think Paul knows that when those things in our life are right, when like we talked last week, when I'm knowing Christ more, and when I'm having a deeper understanding of his giant love for me, what happens is my ability to handle circumstances goes through the roof. And so what Paul here prays is, he says, man, I pray that you'd really know how much God loves you so that you might be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. What he's saying is, he's saying this. He's saying, I'm praying that you would really become who God made you to be. I pray that you would be coming more and more like Jesus. He says, hey, the way you know that you've really experienced the love of Christ is it begins to change the way you live. And so that this God life would just be flowing through you. The life of Christ would be flowing through you. And so what happens if I would really go to another place, if God would grant me in his power of his Spirit to take me to another place in my understanding of the love of Christ, so many of these other issues in my life just become non-issues. Here's the thing. If I really understood how much Christ loves me at another level, nobody would have to encourage me to pray more. It would just be an overflow thing. Nobody'd have to encourage me to engage the scriptures more if I really had this deep understanding of this amazing love that Christ has for me. I would just naturally talk about Jesus more to people that didn't know him. I would be naturally seeking first the kingdom of God. I would be caring more about the least of these, the poor, the marginalized, the widow, the orphan. I would be passionate to serve with my gifts and abilities to make an impact, to bless others, to extend the reach of God's kingdom through his church. I would be radically generous if I really understood how much God loves me. I would be so very gracious in my relationships. See, so many of these things that we struggle with, that we want to take next steps in, areas that we know we need to grow, they're just kind of surface level symptoms of something deep that's missing in my heart. And I think many times we just don't really grasp. Apparently these people in Ephesus, Paul says, hey, man, my prayer for you is that you would really grasp, comprehend this giant love of Christ that you can't understand on your own. It's going to take God's Spirit empowering you. It's going to take God granting you out of his glorious riches that he would help you to do it. And when I do that, what'll happen is I'll become more like Jesus, but I can never become like Jesus until this issue of really understanding his love sinks deep. Here's the third thing. Paul prays this for them, and we should pray it for ourselves and for others, because my heart experience should reflect my spiritual position. See, here's what's funny about this prayer. Is that Paul is praying these things for these people, praying that they would be filled up with Christ's Spirit, that Christ would be dwelling inside of them, that they would be filled to the knowledge of Christ. These things he's praying for them, these are things that Paul in other places says that they already have. He says it'd be like if someone or to pray for you that you would have a pair of Nikes while you're literally wearing a pair of Nikes, and you're like, well, hey, I guess it's already been answered because I'm wearing Nikes right now. And so a handful of other places where Paul says, he says this. He prays that Christ would dwell in their hearts. But earlier in Ephesians, he talks about how Christ, through the person of his Holy Spirit, has already sealed their hearts. He's this deposit that's living inside of them. He talks about that this temple where God dwells, that we're becoming this. So he's praying for something that he's earlier already said has already happened for them. And verse 18 and 19, he says, I pray that you'll know the love of Christ. But anyone knows that knowing that Jesus loves you is Christianity 101, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There's probably not anyone that's been a Christian for very long on the planet that's not heard this verse, read this verse, that God loves us, proven in Christ coming. As a young child, we learned the song, my little almost three-year-old little boy, Michael, the other day singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. This is Christianity 101, that they would know that God loves them and Jesus, that God's love has been proven in Christ dying in our place. Verse 19, he prays that they'd be filled with all the fullness of God. But in Colossians 2, and talking to this other church, Paul says, verse 9, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been brought to fullness. And so Paul's praying that this church in Ephesus would have these things that in other places, he says, as Christians, we already have these things. So what gives? See, I think it's this. I think many times as followers of Jesus, our heart experience, what's going on in our inner man, this kind of blend of our mind, our will, our emotions, this kind of control center of who we are as a person, what's going on inside of us doesn't match the spiritual reality of what God has done for us in Christ. And so it'd be like this. It'd be as if I had $10 million in my bank account, and it would be as if I had regular moments of amnesia where I just forget that I have that $10 million and in that moment believe I have no resources. And so for as long as that amnesia was going on, I'm acting as if I don't have any money to buy any food or act as though I don't have any money to pay the power bill or a place to live. And I'm living as though I'm some sort of pauper until somebody reminds me, hey, Dave, you've got $10 million in the bank. See, I think many times as followers of Jesus, our heart experience, what's going on inside of us, it just doesn't match up to the spiritual reality of all that God has done for us in Christ. And so that's what Paul's praying for them. He says, my deep prayer for you, the prayer I'm bowing down, praying earnestly for you, is that your heart experience, that the Holy Spirit, that God would grant you this understanding that goes beyond natural understanding. Because left to yourself, you're never going to be able to really comprehend how much God loves you. You're never going to be able to wrap your head around it. It's only going to be if God does this work inside you where your heart experience is now in line with this spiritual reality that it would really sink deep for us. Paul's prayers that our heart experience would match my spiritual reality. See, it would be great if this year, if you and I made this prayer the cry of our heart, God, help us to really understand how much you love us. Because when we do, everything in our life gets better. Let me show this to you. One thing that happens when I really understand how much God loves me is my joy will go through the roof. Here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 9. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind, the idea that Jesus is saying, I want you to know that the Father and I and the Holy Spirit that have lived in this triune community of the Trinity, which is a mystery, goes beyond comprehension, but this perfect love relationship throughout all eternity past. And Jesus is saying here, the same way the Father loves me, that's how I love you. He says, now remain in my love, or abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And then Jesus says this, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. What Jesus is saying is this knowledge, this deep understanding, not just in the kind of surface level of our mind, but that goes deep into the control center of all that we are. This knowledge of God's love for us. Jesus said, the reason I'm telling you that I love you as much as the Father loves me, and so that your joy may be full, that your joy might be complete. So this prayer, as we pray it in our lives, pray it for our kids, our loved ones, that we'd really understand deeply the love of Christ. What ought to happen is it ought to cause my joy to go through the roof. I want to encourage you. In moments when you're tempted to place your eyes on all the wrong things, and maybe melancholy or sadness or depression begins to overtake your heart and your mind, even in that moment, begin to meditate on the love of Christ. In that moment, ask God, say, God, would you grant me by the power of your Holy Spirit that I would really understand in fresh ways your love for me? And what Jesus said happens is that our joy becomes complete. Second thing that happens is my fears and my insecurities will fade. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Verse wraps up by saying, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, if I really understand at a deep level that the God of the universe loves me more than I could ever wrap my head around. My insecurities about what does everybody else think about me will begin to fade away. My fears about all of the things in life that tend to grip us with fear begin to fade away. It becomes an absolute difference maker in my life. Here's the third thing. When I really understand how much God loves me, my capacity to love will explode. My capacity to love God will explode. We see it in 1 John 19 that the reason we love God is because he first loved us. And so my love for God is always a response to his love for me. He's the initiator. And so when it goes deep into who I am beyond a natural understanding, a supernatural understanding of the wondrous love of God, what happens is it begins to stir up my love for him. I can't help but love him back when that becomes real in my life, as real and as tangible as the love we would experience from any other person. When it becomes real like that, I just begin to love him more, and I begin to love other people more. See, what happens is, as I fully experience God's love, I'm then able to give it away. John 13:34, here's what Jesus says, a new command I'm giving you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus is saying this, as I have loved you, love one another. What Jesus here does is he ups the ante on what love looks like. Earlier, he talks about how, just kind of quoting the Old Testament, of loving your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, hey, I'm taking it to a whole new level for my followers, that you would love the way that I love. And then later we see that greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And so Jesus is saying this. He says, as I have loved you, You love one another. And so as I fully experience in deeper and deeper ways out of God's grace and empowering of the Holy Spirit, that I would really have a deep comprehension of his love for me, as I experience this remarkable love, I'm then able to give it away. I really do think we're living in a time with everything going on with the virus, politics, and all the stuff. I believe we're living in a time where it's never been more important for us to love well. And I also think we're living in a time where it can be incredibly challenging for us to love well. Social distancing and all of that. And I want to encourage you to think creatively, even in this strange time. To think creatively, to not let the barriers that seem so obvious keep us from loving well, not let the barriers of the virus and all the stuff to make it so difficult that we don't love well, whether we do that through technology, whether we do that through Zoom and making phone calls or having small gatherings that are safe. Let me share this with you. I thought this was inspiring. There's a lady named Mary Daniel, who had not been able to see her husband for 114 days. He has Alzheimer's, had been placed in a memory care facility where they were not permitting any guests because of just the spread of the virus in those places. And so for 114 days, after decades of marriage and being together, she was unable to see him and desperately wanted to see him. And she says this, she was desperate to find another way to stay connected. She said, "We have separated these folks to save them, but the isolation will absolutely kill them, especially dementia patients," she said. "They need interaction. They need to be touched so that they can grow instead of just really withering away." And so get this, she ended up taking a job as a dishwasher in the memory care facility where her husband was being cared for, not because she needed the money at all, she didn't. She took a job as a dishwasher in the memory care facility just so that every day before work and after work and on her break, she could see her husband. That's an inspiring picture of love, a love that says, I'm not gonna let just any old barrier keep me from loving well. And so I wanna challenge you in this time that as we press in, asking God to really infuse the reality of his love in us, that then his love would flow through us to one another. That's one of the reasons that Life Church, life groups are such a big deal for us. Life groups are just groups of people that meet through the week, some in the morning, some in the afternoon, daytime, some in the evening, some for men, some for ladies, some that are co-ed. Some of the groups share a meal, and then just talk about what God's doing in their life. Some of them talk about the sermon, other ones do other studies. And right now, a lot of the groups are happening on Zoom. Some are happening live, some are meeting outside. And so and here's why we do it. At Life Church, we just fundamentally believe that church is a family. And through the New Testament, see, Jesus tells us to love one another, but God knows that sometimes we forget what that looks like. And through the New Testament, there's all these commands that really are just expounding on this command that God's love would flow through us to one another. And so there are these little phrases that end with one another in the New Testament, like pray for one another and serve one another and greet one another and be hospitable to one another and encourage one another and forgive one another. There's all these one another's that are simply just unpacking the big one another of love one another. And we just at Life Church think church is a family, and that really Sunday morning, whether you're gathering on video or gathering live, that Sunday morning is great. We come together to express our love for God. We worship him together. We receive the teaching of his word together, and we do love one another in the before and the after and the during of that, but that it's really in these small groups that we call life groups where we really learn to love one another and to help one another grow to be who God created us to be. These groups are going to be kicking off Not this week, but the following week. You can join one, lifechurchreno.com. Click the Life Groups tab. And again, we've got groups that meet most every day of the week, groups meeting live, groups meeting digitally. I want to encourage you to join a group. So this year, I want to challenge you, especially as we kick the year off, to make this the cry of your heart. And pray it for yourself, pray it for your spouse, your kids, your loved ones. God, would you help me to really understand at a deep, deep level, at the core of who I am, this experiential knowledge of just how much you love me. Let's pray. So, Father, that is our prayer. God, that at the core of who we are, at a heart level, that really speaks of our mind, our emotions, our will, that we'd know it, that we'd feel it, and that it would drive the way we look at everything in life, that your Holy Spirit would give us this ability, this power to understand what goes beyond comprehension, the wondrous, great love that you have for us, the love that you proved in giving Christ on our behalf. You tell us that you demonstrated, you proved once and for all your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were living for ourselves, doing our own thing, going our own direction, Christ died in our place, taking our sin upon himself. And so, God, we thank you that you are a God who proves your love for us. And so would you cause it to sink deep into the core of who we are in whole new levels, and that it would change everything in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dave. It's been an awesome sermon today. And we have some exciting things coming up at Life Church. You can always go to the website and click events to see what's happening. But we are going to be celebrating our 15th birthday. Yes. As Life Church on January 31st. And so we'd love to celebrate with you online as well. And so what we'd love to do is hear your stories. We'd love to hear how Life Church has made a difference in your life and your family's life. Any stories, whether they're fun or serious, whatever comes to mind, I would love to hear them, and we'd love to celebrate with you on the 31st. So email us at mystory@lifechurchreno.com and share your story with us. We would also love to connect with you if you'd like more details about baptism or would want to talk with a pastor. You can text the word LC hello to the number 97000. And you can also find us on social medias like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
We are always praying for you guys as well. Every week we gather together as a staff to pray for you. We have a prayer team that is praying for you. And so if you have any prayer requests, that same number, 97000, you could text the word prayers, plural, to that number. Again, prayers to 97000. We would love to pray for you or your family, friends, kind of anything that's going on in your life. We are so thankful that you guys joined together with us today. Hopefully you engaged and joined in on the chat. And man, we are thankful that we have technology, that we can still gather together virtually or and with people in different cities and states and across the world joining together with us this Sunday. Church, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless.